Hi, my name is Phil Metzger, and in 1992, I moved to Moscow, Russia. From there, I lived in the beautiful Central European country of Hungary, where my family and I spent the next 20 years living, learning, and sharing about Jesus. Different foods, culture, and language, but underneath it all, we discovered the most amazing people. We learned that to share the gospel effectively, we had to adjust. We had to cross cultures. Now we're back in the U.S., and we're discovering that this country is a melting pot of culture. This show is committed to helping Christians connect to those who think, believe, and live differently than them. This is Crossing Cultures. Well, welcome to a new episode of Crossing Cultures. These next episodes, I'm going to be joined by my friend Greg Elsasser. Just a little bit about Greg. Greg is a high school and junior high teacher in the Los Angeles County. He's been there for over 25 years. He's currently teaching English. Greg's a playwright and an author, and he's also a dad of three boys. And I thought before I bring Greg onto the show, I want to remind those of you who are either listening to this or if you're watching this podcast, the point of it all. We are learning to respect and to connect to people who may live, believe, or think differently than we do. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope for the world, for humanity. And the gospel is this, that God became one of us. He died for all of us. And if anyone would put their faith in Jesus, they'd be born again. This podcast is not about watering down the gospel or compromising my Christian faith, but it is about developing bridges of understanding that God can use for his purposes. I don't have to agree with somebody to respect them. You know, we used to say things like, we need to learn to disagree agreeably, but I believe that that is on the premise of respect. We need to learn to respect each other. You know, at the church that I pastor, we have a school here from kids that are 2 years old all the way through high school. And my wife's really involved in the preschool. And one of the preschool teachers was telling her that one of their kids, or when a kid has a fit or, you know, kind of just throws a tantrum, sometimes she says they call it going into the red zone. I guess it's a term that educators and child therapists will use, you know, to describe, you know, there's different zones that kids can go into. And this red zone, this idea of like total irrationality, anger, intense emotions, they shut down a little bit and you can no longer rationalize with them or just kind of, you know, try to bring them out of it with some kind of a logic. And I was thinking about when my wife was sharing that with me, and I was thinking, I think a lot of us Christians can go into the red zone, especially when certain issues are brought up. We find ourselves triggered and we go into an irrational state where it doesn't matter what anybody is saying. I've made up my mind. That's it. There's nothing else I can hear. And the fear is that if I listen to somebody with a different perspective, then I'm compromising my faith. And I definitely want to say to you, let's not compromise our faith. Let's not water down the gospel in any way, but listening to people and respecting the fact that they might think or believe or live differently than you is not innately a watering down of the gospel. You know, I've been accused of being, I'm too progressive or woke. I'm not even sure exactly what these terms mean, but I see myself as just simply wanting to build bridges with people. I'm never gonna tell them, oh, I agree with you if I don't, but I don't feel the need to go into the red zone where I become so irrational and incapable of listening to them simply because they disagree with me. I've shared this with our church many times. We need to not see issues. We need to see people. When I see issues, it's easy for me to be judgmental, critical. I lose all civility when I see an issue. But when I think of people and the story and the person, Greg, that I'm going to introduce you to, Greg's got an intense story. It's a painful story. It's not easy to listen to. And I want you to see him and not just an issue. Some of those issues are, and we've been already dealing with some of them on the podcast, race is an easy red zone issue. Abortion is certainly a red zone issue. And homosexuality is a red zone issue where it's easy to be like, nope, this is my position and I don't want to hear or listen to anything else. I'm not asking you to change your views. I'm asking you to listen to people and then learn the tools to connect to people. I believe that even if I don't agree with someone, there may be the day that God uses that relationship in their life for good and for his purposes. So I want to ask you as we begin this episode to consider two things to help you to stay out of the red zone. Number one, trust me. I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I'm not looking to compromise the gospel in any way, shape, or form. So trust me in this conversation. Number two, keep your heart open to people. Leave the issue and focus on people. All right, that's enough of an intro. It's time to welcome our guest for today. This is my friend Greg Elsasser. Greg, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You and I spoke about a month or so ago. I've been looking forward to having this conversation where we actually record this for the podcast. How you been feeling?
Yeah, very, very positive. I thought it was a great conversation. I think most of the time I have conversations like this, it goes very well. And I felt like you and I talked and it went very well. And I was very pleased.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I wish we could do it in person, but, you know, obviously COVID puts us in this situation.
In person anymore.
You can't. I know. It's like nothing's in person anymore. It's so true. But I'm so glad that we have Zoom. I'm so glad we have the technology to do this. And seriously, thanks for having this conversation. You know, I'm just like trying to frame this all. We have so much that we want to get to talk about. And mainly what I'm wanting to do is I want us to have a conversation about your story. And intermixed into that is just kind of like where we are as people. You know, the whole point of this podcast is about learning to have conversations with people who live, believe, think differently than I do. Right. And learning how to respect that and how to, you know, there's a civility behind these. And ultimately, I believe, and I know we share this, but I believe it's like, if I build healthy bridges with people, then there's a greater chance for gospel conversation than there will be if I'm just stuck on my side of the boxing ring and that person's on the other side of the boxing ring. And I don't think you and I are in boxing rings, not even close to that. But we obviously, you know, and I was thinking of this, like there's some areas where we fundamentally disagree and yet I have just nothing but respect for you. And I want people to hear your story and how we can learn to be kinder to each other. And so, you know, when you and I spoke about a month ago, there was a few events in your life that really hit me hard of like just pain.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that there's been in your coming out or maybe in that process, there's been three different times in your life when you tried to take your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is very common as I'm, you know, reading other people's stories, because it's important for me to listen to other people's stories as well as being stuck in my own head. And attempted suicide is just extremely prevalent in those that are coming out or wrestling with their sexuality. And I was no different.
It's heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking reality. And this heartbreaking, like I'm looking at you, we're talking, and we're talking about a person who three times felt like the best option was to end your life. It's heartbreaking to me. So I just thought, though, those became really three major points of movement in your life as well. And I was just thinking, like, you know, maybe you can just start sharing some of your story, how you grew up, your background, and lead us up to that first kind of major milestone. And just kind of tell us a little bit about your life.
Yeah. So I was born and raised as a Free Methodist in Downey, and went to church there till I was 18. And got to the point where Free Methodist was a little too, for the older people. I wanted to go to a little bit more of a larger, you know, with a young group. And I started going to Calvary Chapel in Downey, and where I stayed for almost 30 years. And it was my home church. But I had wrestled with, listen, I don't even want to call it homosexuality or my sexual identity, because I was wrestling with it before I even knew what sexual identity was, before I even knew what sex was. I can remember being around 7, 8-ish and knowing that I was different, but not even having the words to put on it. But I just had this feeling that it was bad. and wrong. This is wrong. And then, of course, as I got older and the church was saying that it is wrong, it is bad, that just kind of, that just destroyed me, because once I understood what it was, that I was gay, and then the message from the church was, well, you know, you can't be gay and go to heaven. And so within a few short period of time, when I figured out what I was struggling with, I had the threat of having my parents taken away from me, because I thought, well, my parents won't love me. I'll lose my friends. I'll lose my God. I'll lose my church. I will have no life. And so instead of really thinking about it, I just thought it's not an option. It's just not an option. You have to be straight. So I started the work to pray away the gay. But at many times, three times, especially specifically during my life, it was too much. And I had tried to commit suicide at 15. That was a little bit more of a cry for help, I think. And then so was the one when I was 21. Mm. One I had about 2 years ago was no more cry for help. This was, you know what? I've checked out life long enough.
You were done.
Yeah. And I was done. And thankfully, the Lord was merciful and I lived. And it was a couple months later, I shared this with you, a couple months later, I ran into somebody at the gym who was a Christian, and I knew from work, not from church. And we got to talking about everything, and he was very nice about it, but he was clear that it would have been better if I would have had committed suicide before I gave into the gay lifestyle, so I could be with Jesus instead of doing what I was doing now. And you know, that is tame compared to what other gay Christian men and women who really want to love Jesus and serve Jesus, that's tame compared to what they've been told or what they have gone through.
So you were told it'd be, so irrespective of what you're actually feeling or already dealing with, the actions of your homosexuality, it would have been better had you died before even though it was already there, it was already something that you were wrestling with.
Right. Yeah.
And that's tame compared to some of the things that are being expressed.
And the people I've talked to, and because I try to associate myself with Christians, because I still know that I'm a Christian and I still identify with Christians. And so when I talk to homosexuals, and gay folks, we're not even supposed to use homosexual anymore. I don't know. The language keeps changing.
What is the term?
I don't know. They change it every week. So I guess homosexual is offensive now. I'm not offended by it. Gay.
So it's just, we just say that gay lifestyle or a gay, just to be gay.
Whatever. I just thought, I don't get that offended. I mean, like I said, a guy just told me I should have killed myself.
Yeah. You can't be easily offended by the terms.
No, I really like this guy to this day. I mean, I still see him in jeans, and he's the one I gravitate to go hang out with, because I don't know. I think there's been a lot of grace shown to me in my life, and humans say and do stupid things all the time, and God shows grace. And so I don't know. I just like him. He's funny and he's a good conversationalist. So,
and you and I can talk about this on kind of these, there's these like two levels. There's like a theological level that I think we disagree on a theological level, and we can talk about it. That'll be a great part of our conversation. But then there's this kind of like this personal side of people understanding like where you're coming from, because I have a feeling a lot of times like and I don't want to say this about everybody, it's not fair to do that, but a lot of times we identify a gay person with their sexual identity rather than like as a human being.
We don't do that with straight people. I don't know, can't tell you how many times people have said, you're not gay, your identity is in Christ. But the reverse doesn't even come up when you talk about your identity in Christ as a straight person. Those are two completely different things. Why can't my identity be in Christ? Yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a gay man. Right. And I think it's a little bit of a double standard.
And do you think though, part of that is, I mean, again, like I'm thinking like from where I come from the scriptures, it's hard for me to look at like somebody who, you know, I look at these verses that talk about if you practice this lifestyle, the Bible says you're not born again. So I have a perspective that tells me you can say what you can say, but I have a different perspective of where you're coming from. And that becomes a real wedge for you and me from a theological perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, and that's my biggest issue, and that I've been wrestling with for the 2 years, because I'm not going to have a lot of answers for you today. I'm still learning.
Right.
In 5 years, I'm going to be learning in 10 years, I'm going to be learning on my deathbed. So, you know, there's been a few people that have tried to trap me. And what about this? And I'm like, I'm not interested in being trapped. I don't know the answer to everything. So you are going to be gay. You don't know the answers. Yes, I didn't know the answers to everything about the Lord before I came out. I don't know all those answers now, and I won't know all of them until I die. What I do know, though, is he is gracious, and I don't have, and maybe this is a little bit off topic. People say, well, why are you still saying that you're a Christian? And I said, you know what, even if I wasn't, even if it is true, the people that have told me, yes, you're going to hell, to my face, very nicely, though, everybody's been very nice when they tell me I'm going to hell. It does not, regardless of whether I'm a Christian or not, whether it's true I'm going to hell or not, it does not get me out of my duty and obligation to worship God. So I will still consider myself a Christian. I will still pray every day and read my Bible and go to a church that allows me to go and worship God in that way. I think it's the Westminster Catechism that says your purpose, man's purpose in life, is to worship God and enjoy him forever. I don't get out of that just because, oh, no human being does. Even if you have an atheist, okay, you're talking atheist, that does not get them out of their obligation to serve God. So I will continue to do that. And I stand before God and he says, well, you were a practicing homosexual, we are going to send you to hell. Of course, we will take the divorced people that were married and remarried, and we'll let them, you know, but not you as gay. We're going to send you to hell. And he's God. He can do whatever he wants.
Right. And I remember you saying that to me last time we talked, just saying like, and it kind of just struck me so hard of like, I'm going to love God even if he thinks I should go to hell.
Even if you're not one of his children, that's still your job.
It's such a different perspective, Greg, that people are not used to hearing. And it kind of just like does like a number on the brain and the heart of like, wait, you don't fit that like kind of stereotype that I think people, the Christian world kind of gets a stereotype. And it's something that I mentioned earlier in introducing our conversation today is like, you know, something I tell my church all the time is like, we have to stop seeing the issues. We got to start seeing people. It's easy to lose my civility on an issue, but with people, it changes everything. You know, it doesn't change what I believe is true, but it certainly changes the way I see that person.
And I really have with the word issue you say, I'm glad you brought that up because this is such a big issue in the church. There are two really big issues, and all the other issues get mentioned, but they are just downplayed. In modern evangelicalism, the focus is on homosexuality and abortion. Those are the two things that we focus on. And listen, I'm vehemently pro-life and anti-abortion, and that's never going to change. But at the same time, why you want to build a bridge between the gay community and Christians, when you make this one such a big issue, instead of at least a secondary issue, it's and you make it political, you pull out things to sign this petition against Prop 8, there's not going to be a bridge. I'm not saying that I think you as a pastor have an absolute right to feel how you feel. And I think within your church, you have an absolute right to say, hey, you know what, you can't come here and serve, I mean, because of your lifestyle. That's fine with me. That's your right. And I don't want that taken away because I like our religious liberties. But when you start getting involved in politics, that's a little bit of a problem. And when you put an emphasis on this and you ignore so many other lifestyles that contradict what you're supposed to live as a Christian, and you use the excuse, oh, well, you know what? He's just a struggling Christian. We'll allow him 300 pounds and obese because he's a struggling Christian. She gossips a lot, so we'll just let her go. She's going to work on that. But you're gay, you're going to hell. Essentially, the church says there's no sin you can't be forgiven of. So you could have somebody who goes to church and serves in a church who is a confessed and known rapist, and they can still work there. But if I'm a practicing homosexual with my partner, I'm not even allowed to go there. And if I held his hand, I wouldn't be spoken to. It's the hypocrisy, and it's a little bit of a cliche, but I understand the gay community's concern with the hypocrisy of it.
And I'll say, there would be no person who, in our church at least, who was a rapist, who would be allowed to have, you know, to be serving in any, but I know you've had stories like that, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing that you can do within the church if you've forgiven that cannot stop you from serving.
Right. It's hard. And except this one thing.
Yeah. I'm worse than a rapist in some people's eyes. I'm worse than a child molester because I have not confessed this sin.
Right.
So.
I want to revisit something you said. It was so good. You know, even just because I'm thinking like, there's going to be people watching this who are like, but I don't agree with him. And the Bible doesn't agree with him. So you're not saying that I don't have the right as a pastor to express how I see scripture. You're for that. You're for me expressing that.
Of course. Yeah. I there's pastors who can talk about speaking in tongues, which I just is a theology I don't understand. And I don't necessarily get behind, but that pastor can talk about that. And there are pastors that say that if you don't speak in tongues, you are not saved. And they can say that all they want. I just won't go to that church.
Right. You know, right. It's still a choice that you have. Yeah.
I will find a church that will accept me. I don't want to go to a church where I'm not accepted and I can serve.
And it's because it is such a quandary that a lot of churches, and I'm saying myself included in this, where on the one hand, I feel firm convictions in the scriptures. On the other hand, I feel this firm conviction towards relationship and towards connection and towards bridge building. And it is a real, it genuinely is a quandary. Like you said, you're going to be growing the rest of your life. I'm going to also say here, I'm going to be growing the rest of my life. And for some Christians, they hear me say that and they think, oh, he's just progressive and woke and whatever all the terms are, when really I think of myself as like, I'm trying to do what Jesus told me to do. I'm supposed to keep growing. I'm a disciple. Disciples never become the guru. They're always learning. They're always growing, you know? So I'm having to learn, like, is this the right approach? Am I doing something that's offensive just for the sake of showing somebody that I'm right? Or am I genuinely trying to, like, love that person and serve that person? These are hard issues for us.
I know. But other issues have changed with the culture. You know, it's common to say we as a church, we do not change with the culture. And that is just not true.
Yeah, I agree.
In the 50s, after World War II, the divorce rates skyrocketed. I didn't have done my research to say why. But before then, most churches would not allow you to come to their church and be involved or be in ministry if you were divorced and remarried. It was just like the homosexual, the gender or whatever. And so the church started realizing, hey, we got a lot of divorced couples here. We're going to start losing a lot of people. So they changed it. They said, you can be divorced and remarried, and churches will remarry you and say, you are forgiven for that. So it's okay. You are forgiven for that. I'm telling you right now, in 50 years, you're probably your grandkids' generation who are leading the church will be progressive, which is funny you call me progressive because I'm just... I irritate all my liberal friends and I irritate all my conservative friends. I really do. I they're like, who are you? Where do you fit? Which one? I'm like, I don't fit anywhere. Right. But I really don't think this is going to be that much of an issue in 50 years. Because by then you say, well, only 3% of people claim to be gay. So yeah, 3%, the church doesn't need to do anything about 3%. But if it's true and the statistics are higher and it's just that people haven't come out and you see a rise in people who are coming out, churches are going to have to figure out a way to deal with that. Or just if you look up some Pew researches, Christian kids for age ages 13, 14, and 15, they've changed their views on homosexuality and God. And those are the ones that are going to be leading the church. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's going to be completely accepted all over the world, but you are going to shift and later. And gosh, wouldn't it be a bummer if the church realized that they were wrong 50, 75 years from now, as they were wrong on women's rights and slavery? Wouldn't that be a bummer if you said, boy, we told an entire generation, 2-3 generations of people that they could not come and worship God and grow as a Christian because they were gay? Well, that would be a tragedy.
I mean, you give me so much to have to think about on that, Greg. Seriously, it's like, on the one hand, I'm like, I don't agree with you. On the other hand, I'm like, dang, I got to listen to what you're saying here. It's really challenging. And I appreciate that because it really challenges my thought process. And that's the beauty of like these kind of conversations is like, I don't have to give up what I believe, but I can rethink it, repray, allow myself to keep growing. And, hey, Greg, I'm going to, pause what we're talking about right now, because I want to continue this into the next episode. So thank you so much for being a part of this. And those of you that have been listening and watching thank you for being a part of this. And I hope this has been challenging. I hope this has been encouraging. And we're having conversations that are very difficult and very painful and very personal. But hopefully it's helping you to see that you can have these same conversations and God's going to use you and God's going to help you to grow in your relationship with Him through healthy, respectful bridge building. We are going to continue this conversation in our next episode, so stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Crossing Cultures. If you found value in the show, do us a favor and leave a review on iTunes or simply share the episode with a friend. And make sure to hit subscribe so you'll never miss an episode.